G'day, Scott. How are you?
Good, thank you. Good.
Yeah. Now, it's important stuff that you're alerting us all to, the federal government fast-tracking mining approvals. Can you give us an understanding of how you see this working?
Well, look, what the government is proposing is to fast-track environmental assessments of entire regions, essentially before we know what the projects will be. And so this concept that in a day and age where we're facing a biodiversity crisis and an extinction crisis in many effects, in fact, Australia listed an extra 13 species last year as having become extinct. Oh. We're going to bypass.
That's horrifying.
It is. It's absolutely horrendous that in this day and age we're still going backwards. But what we're proposing here through the federal government is to put aside those normal processes that would apply to projects, which let's be honest, are pretty weak as it is. They don't provide the level of surety that's prevented those extinctions. And the Samuels Review said that those environment laws needed revamping, they needed toughening up, and they needed effectively a cop on the beat, because the federal government has largely been asleep at the wheel. And we're going to set aside those existing provisions and fast-track assessments of entire regions without actually knowing what the threats that are coming down the line from those individual projects would be. This is just a capitulation to the mining industry and to developers.
Well, creating zones. This is the same kind of environmental vandalism that's happening in other countries as well. This idea of creating zones that become prioritise economic need, in inverted commas.
Absolutely. This I mean, effectively what they're creating is sacrifice zones. It's areas where the normal environmental laws won't be applied in the way that we've been used to.
Yeah, so what they're doing is applying to that particular part of the human psyche that says you have to sacrifice something. It's terrible, it's awful, but if we don't do that, we won't survive, or common good requires it.
Yeah, look, and I mean, it's a fallacy, because the reality is we've not had large amounts of mining approvals, but it failed to be given. We've seen mining approvals being granted in almost every case, and we're not seeing a problem on the industry side of the EPBC Act, other than, you know, them having to go through a process of some sort. But what we are seeing is the existing laws haven't been tough enough. In fact, we're still seeing species pushed towards extinction, and for those 13 species we confirmed last year, it's too late.
It is actually quite extraordinary. On one side, is it true, do you think, that because we're heading into a federal election, and this government, I mean, everybody knows that the federal election is, campaigning's already started, but there are rules and regulations around what happens when a government calls the election. Is this government trying to hurry things up for its sponsors before it calls the election? Is that what you think?
Look, it very much looks that way. This looks like a policy designed to appease and to court mining developers and developers more widely to be putting money into the government's election coffers. It's obscene that we're going to throw, you know, many species that are already endangered or threatened, we're going to throw them straight under the bus to try and shore up this election campaign.
Tell us about what's going on in the Tarkine. I mean, I recently went to the Tarkine and can't actually grasp the idea that there should be logging there, that it should be considered to be a reasonable thing to do. Can you tell us how this kind of approach by the federal government is hand in glove with what's going on in the Liberal government in Tasmania and Tarkine?
Yeah, look, what we're seeing in the Tarkine is a very real threat of logging, and through the efforts of the Bob Brown Foundation and hundreds of passionate defenders that have come out and stood on the blockades with us. We've seen no logging in the Tarkine over this current logging season, and that's something that replicates success we saw last year. And so we're very proud of the fact that those people that stood on the line with us have you know, meant that there's forests that would have been felled that are still standing today. But on the mining front, we're seeing numerous threats re-emerging, and so we've had the Venture Minerals failed failed Riley Creek mine, where they had an approval. They operated that mine for a few months as an iron ore mine, and got their first shipload of iron ore out of the Burnie port, and then 2 days later closed the mine. This was an incredible amount of environmental damage done for what turned out to be no economic benefit. The company made a loss, the taxpayer certainly made a loss, and the environment will suffer that impact in perpetuity. We've got Venture Minerals proposing two more mines, even after having failed their first attempt. They're proposing a open-cut iron ore mine in the Stanley River Valley, they're calling Livingston, and there's a proposal for a tin and tungsten mine on the slopes of Mount Lindsay. Mount Lindsay being some of the best rainforest, not just in the Tarkine, but in Tasmania, and some of the best temperate rainforest on the planet. And if those projects aren't bad enough, we've got a Chinese state-owned mining company in MMG Australia who are proposing to put a massive tailings dam, 140-hectare tailings dam with another 145 hectares of infrastructure, where they will be pumping toxic acid-producing waste from the Rosebery mine across the Pyman River and dumping it in the rainforest in Tarkine.
Pyman River, really?
Yeah. It's a crazy proposal, and it's a technology that's time has passed. Around the world, companies aren't investing in tailings dams. These are failed technologies that leave a legacy that lasts for centuries and destroy large areas of biodiverse systems, but also have an acid mine drainage issue that continues on for 700 plus years.
It's quite fascinating, isn't it, that this kind of economic development, we'll put in inverted commas, is seen as progress still, and an important part of industrialisation of, say, Tasmania, for example, because it's such a finite space. In competition with quite obvious other methods of economic development.
Yeah, look, in this particular case, it's not even necessary for the economic development. What we know is that the company are choosing to pump this waste across the Pyman River because it's the closest point to its existing mine. It has area on the southern side of the river that's outside of the area that's been verified as having those World Heritage values and on the side of the river that the mine actually exists on. But even more than that, companies around the world are moving to new technologies, including paste fill plants, where they're able to take the waste that was normally dumped into a tailings pond, and they reduce it down to a powder, they combine that with concrete, and they use it to fill the voids within the mine that they've been working. And
oh, that's interesting.
We know already they have to fill those voids to increase the stability of those areas to continue mining. And so this is
But that whole area is a tourist destination. I mean, huge amounts of people make their living off the fact that area is not destroyed.
Absolutely. And with if the company was to choose to go forward with a paste fill plant, it could keep the Rosebery mine operating with the current jobs that are there. It would not impact on the tourism jobs that rely on the wilderness. And just from a perspective of we shouldn't be doing things that don't work and cause damage, the company we know already uses paste fill at one of its Queensland mines, and we know that one of the other mines in the area has come forward in the last 6 months and said, we're going to move into the 21st century and convert our operation to a paste fill solution. The challenge is out to MMG to do the same. And this is a case where they could have their cake and eat it too, but they're choosing a cheaper option and asking the environment to pay for it.
Well, that actually goes back to full circle to the role of government in this, isn't it? Like, this handshake with business shouldn't give the government the get-out-of-card, jail-free card that says that it doesn't regulate.
That's right. Yeah. In fact, what we're seeing is a need for more regulation in the environment space. The record speaks for itself. We are adding more species to the endangered list. We've now put another 13 species up that list to extinct. The Samuel Review was very clear that there's no proper enforcement of the EPBC Act, and the Act itself is weak in terms of not having measurable standards that things can be assessed against. And so it really does come down to ministerial approval. And essentially, we've not had an environment minister for a long time who's been prepared to stand up against the mining industry or developers.
Oh, well, in actual fact, I thought you could have stopped there and said, we haven't had an environment minister. That's it.
Well, there's possibly some truth in that.
Thanks for talking to us this morning, Scott. Thank you very much.
All right, thank you.